Today on The Journey.
Fresh faith hangs on despite challenge, discouragement, fatigue, frustration, doubt, lack of complete understanding. Fresh faith hangs on.
Fresh faith finds grace in the eyes of the Lord and perseveres in its power. With that truth in mind, Ron Moore shares the story of a man whose faith and tenacity saved humankind. In its telling, you may find powerful faith for your life as well. First, a quick word about Ron's devotional called Refuge. In this comforting 90-page booklet, you'll discover the path to God's sheltering presence. It's available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Noah, On the Journey.
So we're considering what it looks like to have and to nurture and to live a life of faith. We're using as our primary text, Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that's often been called the Hall of Faith. There are 16 people. There's one group, the prophets, and there are two events, the crossing of the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho. Now, to this point, we have seen Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, a description of faith. We've seen that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so when we look at the word assurance, some translations will use the word confidence. Some translations will use the word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And hope, by the way, is not, I hope something happens, but hope is a certain expectation. I'm expecting it to happen because I know it's going to happen. I've seen it happen before. It's the conviction of things not seen. Conviction there is action. So I know it, I have confidence, and I'm acting on it. So faith is an active trust and belief displayed through obedience. And we're going to see in Noah that Noah, this tremendous man of faith, kind of blows it at the end. So the faith that built the ark, as great as that faith is, every day has to be this new injection of fresh faith. Okay, so last time we looked at Enoch, Noah is the great grandson of Enoch. And what I want to do is just to tell his story. Some of it's very familiar, but then from his story, let's pull out some characteristics of fresh faith. We're introduced to Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, righteousness that comes by faith. So one of the first things I see there is that fresh faith receives God's word, believes God's word, and acts on God's word. Noah was warned by God that flood was coming. He listened to God. He received God's word of warning. He believed that God's word was true, even when he didn't have a lot of visual or tangible proof. At that point in history, there had not been a flood. And then he acted. He constructed the ark. So think about that. Fresh faith receives God's word. That's the first part. He believed it. One thing to hear it, got to believe it. Then he acted on it. That's fresh faith. One quick thing. When the New Testament writer mentions a name or mentions a story, as he often does, and particularly in the book of Hebrews, he may just give a short description, as he did here for Noah, but when he does that, he always assumes that the readers know the whole story. He may just say Noah and make a point, but he's making the point based on the fact that you know the whole story. So the writer, when he says Noah, and when he gives us one verse, he's saying, you should know the whole story. And that's why when you're reading the New Testament, when you see a story or an event, you go back to the Old Testament and you see what's going on. So go back to Genesis, in Genesis 6 through 9, we see this familiar story of Noah, and we're going to work our way through it and find some fresh faith characteristics. Now, you remember last time, Enoch lived in a very corrupt culture. And we know that because in Jude 14 through 16, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such ungodly ways, and all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. So we learned that Enoch was living in this corrupt culture and he was speaking against it. Well, now, when we come to Noah, we learn that things didn't get any better. In fact, they got worse. So Enoch had a son named Methuselah. Methuselah, by the way, was the oldest person to live. Things didn't get any better in his generation. Methuselah had a son named Lamech. Things didn't get any better in his generation. And then Lamech had a son named Noah. Now look at chapter 5, verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called him Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toils of our hand. What's Lamech talking about? Most commentators say that the name Noah means rest. And most commentators say that Lamech is not making some prophecy about how great Noah is going to be. Lamech is just saying, I've got a son, and he's going to help me in the farming, and he's going to be working with me to bring rest. Look at chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to the heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. We'll come back to that in a second. Look at verse 11. As if the description in verses 5 through 8 were not enough to convince us that the world was corrupt, there's another section that tells us the same thing. Look at verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he tells him to make an ark. We'll get there in a second. In these two sections, the word corrupt is used three times, and it is further explained by violence in the second section. So you have the world is corrupt and violent. Now, there are other descriptions, but those are the two words that stick out. The word corrupt means that people are perverse. The word violence means that people are killing each other. They're treating each other terribly. So here you have corrupted hearts that are acting out in murder and abuse and corruption. God said all flesh had corrupted their way. Sin was not isolated in one area or another area. It wasn't isolated in one event here or one event here. Corruption, pervaded the lifestyle of the population. We have never seen the likes of this. We are talking about people living in a culture that was corrupt to the core, to the point where God said, I'm going to wipe them out and I'm going to start over. And yet in the middle of all that, there was one man who found favor with the Lord. And he's described in chapter 6, verse 9, with three significant words. First of all, he is a righteous man. He is a man who has a relationship with God. We've said, when you see the word righteous, the righteous will live by faith. And so there we see that Noah has placed his faith in God and God's promises. He has a positional righteousness before God. He is a righteous man. Come next to the word blameless. Noah was also blameless in his generation. That does not mean perfect. It does not mean he was sinless. We know that because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the word there basically means integrity. And the word integrity means wholeness. So if you're a person of integrity, you're not perfect. But sin is an event rather than a habit. So Noah is not only righteous positionally, but he's blameless. And here's that word again, just like his great-grandfather. He walked with God. I love that phrase, walked with God. Wouldn't you like that on your tombstone? That would say it all. Okay, so here's some characteristics. Fresh faith begins with a relationship with God. That's obvious. Fresh faith is demonstrated by a life of integrity. That's being blameless. Fresh faith walks with God, is God's friend, and enjoys his company. And fresh faith produces a beacon of light in a dark culture. That's what Noah was living in. It was bad when Enoch was there. Now, his great-grandson is living in even worse culture to the point where God says, I regret I created man, I'm going to do a do-over, but that guy right there, he's my man. He walks with me. In the middle of a violent and corrupt culture, Noah stood out like a beacon of light. Fresh faith produces a beacon of light in a dark culture. He didn't allow the culture to rub off on him or mold him. He walked with God, going in the same direction at the same time for the same reason. He had no desire to take another path. And he wasn't a wallflower. Like his great-grandfather spoke out against the culture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the scripture tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Before the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was proclaiming that faith in God was the way to go. So often we let culture rub off on us, then vice versa. We all have to ask ourselves, how am I different in my neighborhood? How do I live my life differently than anybody else? Would anyone know where I stand with Christ based on the way I live? So God called Noah to do a pretty difficult thing, right? To build a boat when the ground was totally dry and there was no concept of a flood. Never had happened before. And if all the flack he was getting to be a righteous man was not enough in this dark culture, God tells him to do something seemingly bizarre, and no doubt he took some flack for that. So another characteristic here, fresh faith will land us some hard assignments, but in the end, they're always for our good. Not told how long it took Noah to build the ark, but it was a mammoth project. He made it out of gopher wood, which is really cypress wood. So think about it. Not only did he have to build this ark, but he had to go cut down the trees. He had to cut them and plane them. A huge undertaking. He coated this thing with pitch inside and out. Just gathering the materials would have been a huge undertaking. By the way, when you see these replicas of the ark and they look like a boat, the ark was a box. It's a floating box, just like the Ark of the Covenant. Didn't have a sail. He had no way of maneuvering this thing. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. It displaced 43 tons, inside capacity 1.4 million cubic feet, and the total deck area was 95,700 square feet. Think of how hard that project was. Don't you think there were times when Noah said, God, this is really hard work building this thing? Don't you think the ridicule discouraged him? Don't you think there were times when he was frustrated, when there wasn't enough wood to finish that day and he had to go back out? He thought he was behind or didn't know if he was behind. Don't you think there were days when he said, this is crazy, I'm done? And he started doubting. So here's an observation. Fresh faith hangs on despite challenge, discouragement, fatigue, frustration, doubt, lack of complete understanding. Fresh faith hangs on. Another one, fresh faith calls for wholehearted obedience. Two verses. 6:22. Noah did this. He did all God commanded him. And then look at 7:5. And Noah did all that God had commanded him. Now, think of it. If Noah had not done all that God commanded him, the boat wouldn't have floated. He would have died in the flood. What a lesson of following all of what God tells us to do, not half of it. So again, fresh faith calls for wholehearted obedience. Okay, finally, there was an announcement that the flood was coming. Second month, 10th day of Noah's 600 year. And so Noah, if he was ever asking God, how am I going to get all those animals? What does God do? He brings all the animals to the ark. Look at Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth. We think of the rain coming down, and it did. But long before the rain came, all the water underneath the earth just burst up. So you got water coming up, and you got water coming down. All the windows of heaven were open, and the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, all the livestock according to their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature, they went into the ark with Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which there was breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all the flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I love that part. In God's specifications for the ark, there was no way to shut the door. So Noah had to depend on God to shut the door. And God did. God shut him in. So fresh faith saved Noah and saved his family. So the waters rose, covered the highest point on the earth. If Mount Ararat is the same Mount Ararat today in Turkey, that is 16,854 feet. And it covered the highest point on earth by 22.5 feet. So the waters rose to 16,876.5 feet. It's a lot of water. So Noah is on top of that in a box with no sail. God gave Noah no way of guiding that box. So here's number 10. Fresh faith is totally dependent on God. What else do you do when you're in a box on top of 16,000 feet of water? Number 11, fresh faith is not static, but dynamic. Noah was in the box, the ark, for 370 days. 150 days, the water was going up. 150 days, the water was going down. And then 70 days for the ground to dry. And all along, he was busy taking care of the animals. Don't miss all the work that went along with that assignment. A life of faith, walking with God, is not always lying down in green pastures and walking beside still waters, right? David, who wrote Psalm 23, was the same man who was on the run from Saul for 10 years. After God said, you're going to be the next king of Israel, for the next decade, David ran from Saul. Don't you think he may have been saying during that time, God, where are those green meadows and still waters? Next one, fresh faith is a life of worship. Right after Noah gets off the boat in verse 8:20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I love 21. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike down every living creature as I have done, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Fresh faith is a life of worship. And that's what Noah does. Number 13, fresh faith needs tangible reminders. When you see a rainbow, Genesis 6-9, God said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to put a bow in the sky, and that's my promise to you. So, fresh faith needs tangible reminders. What are some things in your life, tangible, that you can say, this is my rainbow. This is a reminder of God's faithfulness in my life. One more thing. Fresh faith must be kept fresh. Genesis 9:18. So the sons of Noah who went forth from the ark, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Ham was father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the people of the whole earth were dispersed. So now the whole earth is going to be repopulated by these people. Noah began to be a man of the soil. We don't know what he was before that, but afterwards he began to be a farmer. Planted a vineyard. He drank the wine and became drunk. And he lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, walked backwards, and covered the nakedness of their father. We don't know what happened there, but Ham is cursed because of that. Some of the wording there says that Ham humiliated and dishonored his father. In the wording, he was doing something perverse, but he humiliated and dishonored his father, who started it all by being drunk. But the point there is, from Noah's life, fresh faith must be kept fresh. You cannot live on yesterday's faith, no matter how dynamic it was.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. Are you looking for a place to shelter from life's inevitable storms? Is your heart desperate for a warm place to rest? Would you like to find safety and peace of mind where neither seems possible? Well, the place where those are discovered is described in Ron Moore's devotional booklet titled Refuge. Within its 90 pages, God's promises of comfort, protection, and healing will revive your spirit. Refuge is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next broadcast.
Fresh faith never stops. We see that all through this story. Abram kept going south. Sometimes we read he journeyed on, still going. A life of fresh faith keeps moving.
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember that Ron's devotional booklet, Refuge, is yours for a donation of any amount. Whether dark clouds are gathering on the horizon or they're directly overhead, Refuge offers shelter from the storm. You can order it online at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And we want our Pittsburgh area listeners to know about some exciting upcoming events. How would you like to experience the Bible coming to life as you walk in the footsteps of Jesus and reflect on his ministry in Galilee and Jerusalem? You can do that when you join Ron Moore and The Journey for a 10-day biblical encounter tour in Israel from April 20th to 29th, 2020. To learn more, visit ronmoore.org. Also, be sure to make note of an upcoming concert. Dove Award winners 10th Avenue North bring their No Shame Tour to the Bible Chapel in McMurray on November 8th. For more information and tickets, visit BibleChapel.org/concerts. And please remember that The Journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.